And there we go. There we go.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the James Charles Young Middle School co-team meeting, where we will follow the agenda as it has been emailed to you and publicly noticed. I would like to remind everyone that this is a meeting of the co-team. Only members of the team may participate in the discussion. Any members of the public present are here to quietly observe. For members of the co-team, please identify yourself when you speak. Please to call this meeting of the Jean Chow Young Middle School going to order at 5:33 p.m. Our first order of business is call roll. The secretary will now take the roll.
You're muted, Mr. Jones. All right. Good evening, everyone. We have present, Mr. Garlington.
Present.
Rashad Bennett.
Here.
Patrick Fluellen.
Present.
Kelvin Walston.
Present.
Louis Metcalf.
Present.
Major Jones. Present. And we do have a quorum present today. And we also have Ms. Jacoby. Hey, Ms. Jacoby.
I'll say, Major Jones, that this team will only be able to take official action if a quorum is present. So then I was going to say, Major Jones, is there a quorum present? But since you said yes, there is a quorum present, thank you. Right. So, all right, so our first item is to approve the approval of the agenda. So our first order of business is to approve the agenda that was provided to you and copies are that were emailed to you. Are there any changes to the agenda?
I'm here.
Good to go.
No changes. All right. So I have a motion to approve the agenda.
I motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Major Jones. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 So no one opposes. Thank you. All right. So now we will review and approve the minutes from our last meeting. The minutes have been provided to you. And as you can see, they are on the screen as well. Are there any corrections? Okay, no corrections.
Okay. I would just like to say that the minutes look very nicely done, very detailed, and I see that all the figures are in here from the actual budget. So very nicely done.
Okay. So since there are no changes or corrections needed, may I have a motion to approve the previous minutes?
Motion to approve previous minutes.
A second.
I'll second. Third.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, so that seems like everyone. So we're gonna keep moving along. All right, so now we will move to discussion items on our agenda.
Let me pause you 1 second, Dr. Bennett, if I could. One thing that we need to do, one other action item, we just need to set a sixth meeting date. We've had two meetings where we did not have quorums, which means we did not meet our sixth meeting requirement per the state, per our charter, with quorums. So this is our actual fifth meeting with the quorum. We still need to have one more. So if we can take a look and see when we can schedule our sixth meeting to keep us in compliance and so that we're meeting the requirements of our charter. And I would propose, just so I could throw something out there to get the conversation started, Being that we're having one this week and we'll go over some general information and close out the year information, I would propose that we do it the week of the 15th, unless someone says something different. And this would be a brief meeting to really make sure that we are just wrapping everything up and to make sure that we have had all of our six meetings. And I would specifically propose, since Thursday seemed to be our day, I would specifically propose Thursday the 18th.
Seems good to me. I just know that we have to present at Georgia Tech, but I think that's the 16th or the 17th, or is that the 17th and 18th? Let me look at my calendar.
Yeah, I'm looking as we speak as well, Dr. Bennett.
What about next Thursday? Just super quick, next Thursday.
That might not be a bad idea.
I know we're... Because testing will be about over. I know there's makeup testing, but...
Testing goes into the 7th.
Principal Garlington, I sent you a message in the chat, Principal Garlington, if you want to see it. I don't... Okay. Again, this is up to you and your team, but I just wanted to make sure that you had all the parameters.
Gotcha. Is it okay if I say that? Can I say that? Okay, so just so we know, we do have until June 30th to have the meeting. But I would recommend that we not... because many members here will be on vacation and, you know, and just whereabouts. I would still recommend, because most of our business would have been handled and all of our heavy duty action items, I still would recommend that we look at within the next couple of weeks to have our meeting to close our year out so we can go in and just seal it off. I do hear that I think I heard Mr. Metcalf, I heard you say on the 11th, next Thursday, the 11th.
Yeah.
Look real quickly.
I'm flexible. I can do either days.
Yeah, I like the 11th as well. I do like that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I can do any day before June 30th.
11th is cool with me.
Good.
So I guess the question is it, does anybody have a conflict with the 11th? And because what this will mean, I'll do a quick turnaround tomorrow and get everything posted on our website, the information sent out to all of our GO team members with the agenda. I'm going to get that all done tomorrow so that we can make sure that we have that noticed and everything. So anybody have any objections about the 11th?
No.
Okay. So I think I have the authority. Is there anybody who would like, can anybody make a motion to have the 11th as our next GO team meeting?
I'm motion for the 11th.
All right.
Second motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And that's at 5:30 again?
Yep, it'll be at 5:30. Yep. All right. No oppositions. So let the record reflect. May the 11th at 5:30, we will have our final GO team meeting of the year. And I just want to stress it will be imperative. We need to have a quorum. So thank you all so much this evening. A quorum is mandatory for it to count towards our compliance measure. So awesome. Thank you all. All right. Thank you, Dr. Bennett. Now we're quiet.
Now we will move to our items on our agenda.
Awesome. So really, this will be these next, this presentation that I'm getting ready to share will actually be, let me stop sharing and then reshare. Actually, if I do it like this, now let me stop sharing and reshare because it's on a different screen. This will actually cover our discussion items as well as information items, because I'll be showing you spring map results, as you see on the agenda here. BASC results, we've talked about that, but also I'll dig deep into a needs assessment, which we'll go through together. And then I'll share a principal's report, which is gonna highlight some family engagement and partnership highlights, as well as some cluster advisory team. And then I'll just share some information about the GO team elections. So with that being said, I'm gonna stop and then reshare my screen. You're going to see me. You'll see a presentation on your screen, which I will not talk about every single slide ad nauseum. I will highlight certain slides, but I just want to make sure that everybody knows as we close out the year, kind of where we stand, especially as it relates to map data and some other data points that I'm going to share with you. Everybody, can you give me a thumbs up if you can see my screen that says Go Team Meeting. Okay, and I hope I have the right one up. I did not put the cover slide with the right information on there. But That's our agenda, which we're already going through right now, so I will not go through that. That's actually what we're discussing now. But here's what we're going to consider for our final data points of the year. And of course, knowing that we're in milestones right now. So we're going to talk about MAP data assessments, our spring results, and then we're going to look at some fall to spring comparison information regarding literacy and numeracy, which I think we should be very proud of that information as we see it. So let's jump right into our MAP data review. When we start with math, this information right here, again, I'm not going to dig deep into everything, but I just want you to, I want to point out right here, when we look at our math, our winter to spring, which is our last assessment, the last assessment that we just did, as well as the one that we compared to the one that we did in January, December. Oh gosh, when did we do that? I'm drawing a blank right now. We did that in January. So the last two, in other words, is comparing those particular MAP assessments. When we look at it, we're down here at number 28, but that's for every school in the entire district, including non-traditional schools, as well as elementary schools and high schools. So that's a pretty good place to be sitting when we look at our overall comparison, when we compare ourselves to other schools. But when we look at our fall to spring, so that's our beginning of the year, the very first time we did it compared to the very last time, we're 13th in the district. So our overall data for the entire school year has us sitting at 13th in the entire school district, which is phenomenal. That's a great place to be sitting. And this is for math specifically. Here, when we look at our the middle schools, excuse me, we compare our math the winter to spring. Again, that's our last two times that we administered it. We're sitting at third. You see down here at the bottom, and let me give some credit to Dr. Bennett and to Ms. Branton for this presentation. I'm simply sharing this presentation, and I know our teachers on this call right now, you would have seen this because this would have been shared during the PLC, but it was so well done that this is the same presentation that I use whenever I present data. But we're sitting at third, and you see us at fifth down there, but AVA Direct and AVA, those aren't traditional middle schools. So I didn't even count them in the figure right there. But you see, we're sitting third when we compare the winter to spring comparison, sitting behind only Hank Aaron, CSK, and then here comes Young right there behind them. So that's third in our growth. This is talking about students that have met or exceeded their growth targets. But now when we look at the beginning of the year to end of the year, we're sitting at first. Nobody touched us when it came to beginning of the year to our end of year growth. And this is students meeting their growth targets or exceeding their growth targets. We're sitting at number one. Great place to be sitting. So that means we're growing students on a yearly basis right here at Young Middle School, as we know we did last year as well. So now this just breaks it down by grade level. And it looks at last year MAP winter to spring versus fall to spring. So again, it looks at the last two assessments versus the beginning of the year and the end of the year assessment. And it just breaks it down by grade level. And that just helps us to see what we have to work with and where our target has become as we look at the different grades with the MAP assessment. And then here it is for our gifted. It shows winter to spring as well as fall to spring. Winter to spring being the top one. I want to highlight the bottom one because this is telling us that our gifted population, we're first in the district of all the traditional middle schools. We're first when we look at our year-long growth in our gifted population. Nobody grew gifted students faster or better than we did as far as meeting or exceeding the growth targets. We did better than anybody in the school district when we're compared to other middle schools. When we look at ELL, you see the winter to spring on the top, but I'll bring your attention to the bottom one again. Fall to spring, again, that's the entire year. Nobody did better than we did when we look at our ELL students. In other words, nobody grew ELL students better than we did at Young Middle School for that particular subgroup as well. And then when we look at our students with disability, though we know there's a lot of work, we have a lot of work to do with this subgroup. We know that. We've already identified that fact. But when you look at it again, fall to spring at this bottom one right here, our year-long data tells us that nobody grew students with disabilities like we did at Young Middle School. More students in our school met or exceeded their growth targets over the course of the year for our special ed students, which is, again, phenomenal. Great place to be sitting. So now when we look at our ELA, you'll see some very similar data points. 22nd in the district overall when we look at our winter to spring. But then I want to bring to your attention right here for our fall to spring, that's our year long, we're sitting at 13th in the entire district, all K through 12 schools, all elementary, middle, and high schools, as well as non-traditional schools are mixed in here as well. So we're sitting at 13th when it came to our growth targets, which is a great place to be sitting. When we break it down a little bit more, here's our winter to spring data. We're sitting at fifth place, but when we look at our fall to spring, that's the entire year. There we are sitting at first place yet again. Nobody grew students in ELA during the course of the year more than we did. So kudos to Major Jones and to Lewis Metcalf, who are sitting here on the call, two of our phenomenal eighth grade, which you'll see in a minute, two of our phenomenal ELA teachers that helped to make this data to what it is. You all grew students more than anybody did in the district, and our data supports that. We're not just saying it. We have data to support that all year long. So kudos to you, Dr. Mr. Metcalf. I'm sorry? I thought somebody said something. And Mr. Metcalf, I will share this. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. I remember when we talked about this when I was at, when I came to your classroom, when I first saw this data and you were almost in tears and you exhaled because it was like a, your work is very impactful. It is. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it because there's so much going on, but this data speaks to exactly what that work is that's taking place. And I'm very proud of that. When we look at our grade levels here, when you look at winter to spring versus fall to spring, again, fall to spring being the entire year, you see right there, eighth grade, you know, that's you all right here on the call. Look at the percentage of students that met or exceeded their growth targets. More than half of our students met, and then the vast majority of that being exceeded the growth targets for our MAP assessment. That is phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. So kudos. And then when we look at our gifted population, same thing. The top is our last two, the final two assessments, but the bottom one right here is our year-long data. You see that Young is sitting right there at number four behind CSK, Howard, and Long for our year-long as far as those students that met or exceeded their growth targets. Again, we've never been in this. This is great for us because this is new. Though we had growth last year, don't get me wrong, but the last 2 years is the first time that we had significant data like this to say that what we're doing is quite successful and that we're making a huge impact. So not that we weren't making an impact, but now we got data to really support that. When we look at our, When we look at our ELL students, same thing. When you look at the bottom one that talks about our year-long growth, Young sitting at number one. Nobody touched us as far as growing students, for as far as those students meeting and exceeding growth targets. And then when we look at our students with disability, only one school. We were second, but only one school beat us in terms of meeting or exceeding those growth targets, and that was John Lewis Invictus, and they barely edged us out by about a percentage point. So in my mind, we're still number one, you know, so we're number one across this. When we look at subgroups, when we look at overall growth, Young middle school, nobody can touch us as far as growing students. We own that crown as far as growing students at Young middle school. So now let's look at achievement data real fast. Everything I was talking about before was growth. So now when we look at achievement, when we looked at math and ELA combined, here you see Young right there in the yellow that's highlighted. We're sitting at, I believe, that seventh one. I'm not going to count AVA because they're not a traditional middle school. And as you can see at AVA, they've got what? It's not a traditional middle school. So you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are sixth when you combine our ELA and our math together for overall achievement out of about 15 or 16 middle schools. So we're sitting firmly at the top of the middle, the top tier of the middle when it comes to our achievement rate. That means students being proficient or above. That's what that means. So now when we break it down a little bit more, here's the grade level. And you see the spring 21-22 compared to spring 22-23. And look at that bottom right here. Look at eighth grade down there just killing it. When we look at this, this is our math. This is, you know, this is ELA and math combined with We are historically at about 55 to 60% of our students in the red. It was down to 38%. And look at this, 20 plus percent of proficient, or this is about 22%, if I'm not mistaken, with students that are proficient or distinguished in the ELA and math when we combine those two categories. That's phenomenal. So kudos again to the, as well as to you, Dr. Bennett, being our math instructional coach guru, who, by the way, I'll say this on the recording, who's now going to be our assistant principal for next year. So congratulations on that as well. Let's break it down a little bit more. Math. When we dig down into math, here we are. There's Young Middle School. This is achievement data right here, y'all. Here we are sitting at fifth of traditional middle schools as far as our math achievement. We've always been at the bottom in math. Our achievement levels have either been 15 or 16 every year over year, but this is phenomenal. This is largely in part, and I would put this is doing large because of our growth. We have grown students over the last 2 years. Our data shows we've been growing students. So now it's translating into our proficiency rates. So kudos to you, Dr. Bennett. This speaks to the work that you're doing that you've done, as well as with the math teachers. We're sitting firmly in the middle and we're right behind King Middle School, about to knock on their door and get them out of our way in a minute. Actually, we had fewer students in the red than King did, but they just out, I think, that distinguished level. So we're knocking on their door. Then we're going to start knocking on the door of Sutton Howard, and we're going to claim that number one and number two spot. We'll be there soon, as long as we keep growing the way that we are, and we are going to, because we have a plan to do so. When we look at this is a comparison of 21-22 to 22-23, And it shows that we're pretty much tracking kind of where we were last year. It's not a huge disparity between last year and this year, again, sitting right there firmly in the middle, at the top of the middle, actually. But it just shows you a comparison between the last 2 years of MAP assessment data. And then right here, breaks it down by grade level again, which again, eighth grade leading the pack, leading the way in terms of distinguishing above, as well as as far as having the fewer students in the beginning level. So kudos, eighth grade team, and just for math overall. Students with a disability. Though we grew the students at a large rate and faster than anybody in the district, we see that we have work to do because we have a large number of students that are in the red. So we know that this is where a large part of our work is going to be with our subgroup of special ed. And we've got a plan for that. We've been discussing that vigorously. And then when we look at our ELL students, very similar story. It's just that we've got some subgroup work to do. So the lowest percentage was the 36 in the sixth grade, but seventh and eighth grade, we just have to bridge that gap. And we know what that work's going to look like. We've been talking about that again vigorously. When we look at our gifted students, here's where they sit. This is 21-22 compared to 22-23. And then we move right into our ELA data, y'all. Same kind of setup. Here we are sitting firmly at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're sitting at sixth in the entire district of all traditional middle schools for our proficiency rates in ELA. Phenomenal place to be sitting. So kudos, ELA teachers. That's your work right here that you've done. This is 21-22 compared to 22-23. Again, you see it's almost mirroring itself. It's the only exception is that we have more students this year in the distinguished level. I will acknowledge and I will highlight and I will put this on recording as to say that I would venture to say, and Dr. Bennett will agree with me, the red would even be lower and the yellow, green, and dark green would even be higher. But we had a huge influx of students that registered into our school between January and February that took the MAP, and every single one, I think 100% of our students that took the MAP assessment, they were newly registered, they fell in the red category. These are students that we didn't teach before then because they were at various schools, they were at different schools. So we know that when we have them, we grow them and they reach these proficiency levels that we want them to reach. So I'd venture to say that they'll be a lot higher if that didn't impact us. But we got them too, because now that we've got them, they're with us, we're gonna make sure that they're growing at the same rate. Here's a breakdown, 21-22 compared to 22-23 by grade level. You see eighth grade, look at what you're doing down there. You've lowered that number of percentage, the percentage of students from 45 to 38 that are beginning, and you've increased the number of students that are developing above. So kudos, kudos, kudos. And then here it is, students with disability, the subgroup. Again, know we have some work to do here, but eighth grade, y'all nailed it. Y'all were the lead, you were leading the pack in this as well, teaching our students with disabilities, making sure that they were performing. And then look right here at this is proficient. We had 8% that were proficient, which is actually, that's a really good number to be sitting at too, compared to previous years where we had lower or none. And then here's our ELL students. You know, again, not quite so bad with that. For ELA, the numbers are lower in terms of the, especially in eighth grade, for the numbers that were in beginning. But then again, this becomes our target area of work that we just have to do for next year. And again, 21-22 compared to 22-23 for our gifted, that's where they fall. And so now I get to the question, what does all this mean? When we look at our end of year targets, we have goals for the end of the year that a certain percentage of our students will be in beginning, we'll have a low number of beginning, and then how many students we have at developing or above, or level three and up, proficient and above. And overall for math, our goal is that 43% of our students at least will be 43%. I'm sorry, 43% of our students will be a level two or up, and then level three and up will be 12%. So right here, if you look at it, green means that we're already meeting that target before the end of the year as of our last assessment. So sixth grade, they were very close, 42 compared to the 43 that we were aiming for, and 9 compared to the 12%. So they were right there, but seventh and eighth grade nailed the target, either met or exceeded it. And overall as a school, we have exceeded the target, y'all. Not just met it, but we've exceeded it. And we just obliterated by 4 percentage points that level two and up. So we're sitting in a good place as we are in the milestones right now. And then when we look at ELA, same thing. Only one red category here, where the level two and up for sixth grade, we didn't quite meet it. We missed that by 5 percentage points, but everybody else took up the load. And now you look at it, level two and up, where we've nailed that by with 2% to spare, 2% to spare, as well as level three and up, with 2% to spare. So we're already meeting our end of year targets for ELA as well. Great place to be sitting as we approach the milestones. And mind you, this would have been a couple of months ago, this is in March, I think, March-ish when we took this before spring. So this was even before more content and before our boot camp and all that stuff took place. So we're sitting in a good situation, y'all. So what's the big takeaway? So what? What does all this mean? The work that we're doing is working. You know, we are growing students, and now we're hitting those proficiency levels that we're wanting to see. And if we keep growing at the rate that we're going, we're going to see ourselves number one, number two, number three, and being in those conversations about being the top tier of schools when we talk about achievement levels for students. We see the students are improving every year, especially our subgroups. There's still room for them to grow as far as the achievement levels, but they are growing. There's no doubt about it. We're growing at a higher rate than anybody else in the district. The subgroups, you just heard me say that, they're showing growth and achievement. Not just growth, but they're also hitting those proficient levels that we were not seeing previously. And then now it's time to move to the next level, y'all. We're doing this, and now we have to amp it up even more and then tighten up everything that we're doing, make sure that it's fine-tuned, knock out all the glitches so that we can make sure that we're now just growing continuously like we're doing, but then continuously hitting those achievement levels that we're wanting to see. So this is really just repeating what I just said. I think I actually duplicated that slide. I did. So now, needs assessment. Our next point in this is to say, based on all that data that we just saw, and you see the slide that says this, we already looked at the data. It says we will take a look at the data. We just looked at the data. We looked at exactly what our last data was telling us in literacy and numeracy. So now, it's up to us to identify 2 to 3 potential needs for the 23-24 school year, because that's going to help to inform our continuous improvement plan, the way that Dr. Bennett and I will be in these meetings over the summer, so that we could then create our short-term action plan to really nail those points. So with that being said, consider these things as we start talking about this, y'all. What does the data tell us? What's the good news that we have to celebrate, which you heard me celebrate, you heard me highlight some of those? What are the growth opportunities? And then what trends do we see in the data? And if anybody, I will pause right there to see if anybody just wants to give a shout out of any of those things. You know, what does it tell us? What's some good news? What are some growth opportunities? Or what trends do we see? I'll pause and see if anybody would like to chime in before I take us to our actual needs assessment piece.
One thing that's significant here is when you look at the cohort data and seeing how the students are improving when they're here in the building. As I told the teachers, with sixth grade, we got them from 5 feeder schools into our one school. So it's going to take some time to build that momentum. But when you start looking at how the data is trending, when you're looking at the cohort data, you see from the kids that were in sixth, now in seventh, are doing significantly better than they were as sixth graders. When you look at kids from 7 to 8, you see the same trend that the kids, so we know that the kids are growing and that they're learning once they're here with us in the building. So then the work becomes, we know we can move them, we know we can grow them. What does that look like when we get them in the building from sixth grade to close that gap faster?
That's a great point, Dr. Bennett. And what you're basically saying, when we get them, we grow them and we help them get to proficiency. The data shows that, and it's trending. It's not like we just did it for one of the MAP assessments. This is consistently happening after every MAP assessment. You know, so great point on that, Dr. Bennett, great point.
Opportunities, we know our subgroups are growth opportunities across the board. Gifted is really not a subgroup, but we do put them as, we count them because of the number of students that we have. So we do keep tab on them. But for growth opportunities, we definitely know that our subgroup, especially our students with disability, because that's our largest subgroup, we definitely need to pay attention there to get those kids moving. I am elated to see that we have more kids that are now sitting in proficient and developing than we had in the past, but it's still not enough. We're moving, but not fast enough as the Gen Ed kids are moving. So we need to see what structures do we need to put in place to ensure that those students are moving as well.
Perfect. Dr. Bennett, as you were saying that, I was typing that in because it brings us to our needs assessment. What are the 2 to 3 needs that we can identify? And I agree. Subgroups is one of the needs, and not growth for subgroups because we're continuously growing them, but I agree. Those proficiency rates and then really focusing on the structures and what that targeted instruction is going to look like for them as we try to get them over into those higher proficiency rates that we need to. So awesome. What else do we think is something based on our data that it's a need for us that we really need to hone in on and focus on?
I think that middle group, like the yellow bands, we need to figure out how to get more of those students in the yellow into the green? Because it seems like those numbers are kind of static. We need to get our kids from developing into proficient and distinguished.
So getting those kids over the hump is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, over the hump. I'm not sure if that's an educational term, but that'll work for me.
That works for me too. I saw that in somebody's dissertation. So yeah,
there you go.
You definitely need to see where they're sitting in that developing, because that range is pretty large. So you need to see where they're sitting. And so when we say we're talking the bubble kids, but one thing that I definitely know that we need, because if you look at the higher end of our gifted children, yes, they are. Yes, we are seeing more positive growth from this last assessment in comparison. But what I will also say is when we are doing interventions in the morning, for students, and not just gifted students, but for students who are excelling, we need to incorporate a different type of program for them that can, because although we're seeing our kids growing, and I see it, I still feel like for that group of kids, we just still need more. We need to give more.
Agreed. Yeah, because they don't need remediation. And that by us not giving them something very targeted for their needs, we're stifling them. Because we see that intervention works. Our data tells us that the intervention block works, and we've moved a lot of kids through intervention. So we need to be just as strategic with them. So yeah. Here's what I've got on here, y'all. And you can see it on the screen right there, subgroups. So as far as the need, I need to say focus on subgroups. Focus. Not solely, but certainly a focus on subgroups and especially those proficiency rates, and then providing the targeted instruction and structures to help them get to those proficiency rates. Move more students from developing to proficient. In other words, targeting the bubble students to really see where they fall, like Dr. Bennett said, and then figure out how we're going to get them over that hump. And then finally, gifted, incorporated an accelerated program during the intervention block so they're just not remaining stagnant. Any discussion or any objections or anything about that we want to further discuss? Is everybody okay with? Does that, based on what we saw, is everybody feeling like that speaks to what we're needing right now? I see a thumbs up. Thank you, Metcalf. Yep, I see you. I see you, John. I see you. Yep.
Is number one. I mean, we discovered that once we corrected tier one, we saw that. So it became very apparent. So I know number one is definitely work for us to do. And yeah, definitely work for us.
Awesome. So, Dr. Bennett, when you're sitting in the leadership retreat this summer, this will be, I'll have this document with me. This will be help to drive our SIP, which we knew this. This is, we look at, you know that. We look at the data all the time anyway. So we already knew this. This just kind of, this reassures that. Okay. I didn't realize that was the last slide. Any questions or anything about the data, the needs, where we're going next? Because again, this is the next step of this, is that this will inform our continuous improvement plan, which will then ultimately, because though we're not on the state turnaround list anymore, we are still going to have a short-term action plan to help drive what our work is going to be. So it's also going to inform what our short-term action plan is going to be. So
can I kind of slide something into number two?
Yeah.
Because we do have a significant amount of RAID kids that we need to make sure that's where the majority of the kids sit. At that beginning level, but we also need to look, because developing gets you some points, beginning gets you no points, right? So we can at least also look at the bubble in the yellow. I mean, in the red, because we have bubble kids there. And on the map, they show up in that orange category. So looking at that category as well, because those are bubble kids that we can move from beginning to developing to get a half a point versus no points.
Yep. I say rare, but I need to say beginning. Perfect. So that goes hand in hand. That works in tandem.
Yeah.
All right. So information items. This is just some general information in some cases, as well as just some stuff for you to be aware of. The principal report is really focusing on family engagement or partnership highlights. This is just to put this information.
Hold on. Huh? We will now move to the information item.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting excited, Dr. Bennett. I'm getting excited.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. So since you just said that, so now we will move to the information items, as Dr. Bennett just said. First part is the principal's report, which we're going to focus on family engagement and partnership highlights. So I will not read all these things, but I just want to point out, because when you see it in writing, it really helps to help you to see like, man, we're doing a lot of stuff that's tied to community relations and family engagement and things like that. This is a month by month. And it doesn't encompass all. These are the large things that we're doing. It doesn't encompass everything, but this is a month by month account of those big items that we're doing monthly to engage families, parents, community, that type of thing, with Mr. Walston being a huge part of many of these things that are on here, actually. For example, the job fair that just took place last weekend. But like, for example, you know, open house for all, transition programs, the sixth grade transition, Grandparents Day, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, which we know everybody in the school knows about that. The Aberridge community thing that we did as a result of a problem that we had in the school. And now we ended up forging this huge partnership with the city of Atlanta, the mayor's office, and Aberridge Housing Development to really, you know, bridge the gap. APTT, Title I meetings, IB workshops, annual health fair, which was amazing, 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 amazing. You know, Gooder Food Drive, which is Gooder is now Gooder along with Georgia Natural Gas, about to be one of our large partners to make sure that we have a food pantry inside the building for parents and families to be able to consume and to be able to come receive items from. Also, you see, gift card and bicycle distribution, hands-on Atlanta partnership meetings, you know, annual community job fair. We are doing a lot and more to come, because what we firmly believe and what we're grounded in as a school is that we're a community school. And to be a community school, you engage the community and all stakeholders to make sure that everybody's a part of everything that's going on at the school so that we can all be successful. That's really what the goal is. And I give a shout out to Kevin Walston on the call with us. In my mind, our most impressive partner that we have in terms of just the work that's happening inside the school, and ironically happened to be the partner of the year last year for the Mays Cluster and for Young Middle School. So, and they were honored for that at the Atlanta Public Schools, the APSES Awards. So that speaks to that, y'all. Just wanted to put that in writing for us to be able to see that. Here's some other information just to put out there for everybody as well. I'm gonna talk very briefly about the Cluster Advisory Team report, more so just so you can see what happens in these cluster advisory teams, and then go team elections. So what I put in here is an actual agenda from the last cluster advisory team meeting. And just to give you an overall view of what we talk about, this is where all the cluster principals come together and we're talking about what's important to the cluster. What is our work? What is our vision? What's our mission? How are we doing the work together? What are we doing collaboratively? What does it look like? The big thing, what I will tell you, is that we were talking a lot about IB. We're at different places with IB, but where are we with IB and how are we working together to make sure that we're all working towards full authorization within the next couple of years? So you see that on the actual agenda right here. It should be, it's on here somewhere. There it is right there. Because that's one of our cluster priorities. Right here we see cluster planning. So a lot of work has been happening with that, as well as what the budget looks like to be able to support that, as well as other cluster initiatives and drives that we're trying to push for. We've done a lot of cluster things together, as well as we've done some with Jackson Cluster as well, in terms of parent meetings, just to kind of pull ourselves together and do something collaboratively. So we've done a few things of that nature. So this just kind of shows you what the discussion was. And I think it goes on. It should go to the, yep. And then even with the dates that we plan together, when we start looking at what are we doing together as a cluster, what are we doing as a team, what are we planning together, and how are we collaborating together to make sure that we're driving the work. The next step that I will tell you, and Dr. Bennett and I have been talking, as well as some other folks, have been talking a lot about this: what does our vertical teaming look like for the cluster, especially for our elementary schools coming to us and then for us going to our high school. So there'll be a lot more conversation about that. All right. So now, finally, go team elections. The voting's already taken place. That took place April the 18th through the 27th. Every home was sent a unique code where they could actually vote. So hopefully everybody took advantage of that. So that took place, as well as employees. You should have received a unique link as well, where you were able to, because I know I received mine, because I was able to vote for our go team representatives as well from our staff. So that is actually taking place. That is in process. And I guess that's being tallied up now. Is that right, Mr. Colby? Those are being tallied as we speak.
So election results are embargoed for 5 days.
Got it.
And we will be notifying all the candidates of their status tomorrow morning and releasing them to the public through our webpage tomorrow afternoon.
Perfect. So this is perfect timing. So tomorrow it'll start the process of notification to those members that were in the election, and then it'll be publicly displayed.
Yep. So, and it is our recommendation that if you have any meetings between tomorrow and the end of the school year, that you invite your new members to be guests at your meeting. They do not contribute a quorum. They cannot vote, but they're this way they can become familiar with the work.
So. Perfect. Perfect. Because I believe, Mr. Metcalf, you attended one when you were newly elected, if I'm not mistaken. You attended the one before we close out the year. You did that last year, if I'm not mistaken.
That was like actually 2 years ago, right when came to Young, I guested. Yeah, because I had been selected and I sat on the last meeting of my first year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's been 2 years. Okay, time is flying by. So, yeah. So, we will definitely do that. We'll invite them to the next meeting. Once we know who those are, we'll invite them to the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what's happening on the Gold Team election front. And then finally, for all Gold Team members, make sure you check your email starting really a couple of days ago for end of year survey links. Very important that we do those survey links, y'all, just to give some input and share some information. You will see a satisfaction survey as well as a principal feedback survey. So not that not that I'm telling you what, but go on and tell them how satisfied you are with me. I'm kidding. No, go make sure you do that just to provide that input. And then finally, trainings. You'll receive information about the trainings. Always check your emails when they come from the Gold Team because all the information will be pushed out to you regarding trainings or anything that's required. So make sure you're seeing that about the required trainings that you still need to complete, which I think we're in pretty good shape, y'all. But always read those Gold Team emails. It's always packed with information and updates and dates and just things that we need to do to make sure we are remaining compliant. And with that said, I've got nothing else unless anybody has a question for me.
I have some comments, Garlington. You just zoomed right past my part of the agendas. Like I was supposed to say, does anyone have any announcements? But that's okay. But I will say, but I will. I do want to say one thing. You guys all get the emails from the Gold Team, right? The Gold Team office about like different requirements and stuff that's due. I just want to make sure that we close out the year strong with like, Ms. Major Jones. Do you update the who updates the website and stuff? Who updates our page on the website?
That's Ms. Miller and Ms. Park.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that we are closing that out. And everyone is good with all of that stuff.
Yep. Agree. Good point.
Great point. All right. So I guess we've reached the end of our agenda. Is there any additional business at this time?
Just one final announcement. I'm glad I put it on here. I mentioned it earlier. We are in the middle of GMAS testing. So we have finished up for the most part, week one. Eighth graders, of course, test tomorrow. And then we will go into week two next week with our seventh graders and eighth graders completing their assessments as well. So just thank you for everybody involved. Thank you for our parents. Thank you, Mr. Fluellen, for having your son here and testing. Thank you to our awesome teachers for it's a lot. It's a lot. I know it's a lot, you know, it's just stressful. Thank you, Dr. Bennett, for our test. He's one of our test coordinators for making sure that everything is going fluidly and smoothly. And then Mr. Walston, thank you for what you're doing for removing barriers for kids to be able to get to school and participate in the test with a smile on their face. So.
Thank you for that, Mr. Garlington. So may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
A motion.
A second. Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor, please raise your hand or say aye.
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 All right. All opposed? Since everyone's down. All right. So the meeting is adjourned at 6:16 p.m. Thank you guys again. I appreciate it. Prompting on the call.
And be on the lookout for my meeting reminders about the Go Team meeting for next week. You know, I'm going to send them to you every day starting on Monday.
All right. See y'all next Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Good
y'all. All right. Be good.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Principal Garlington, did you need anything from me?
Nope. Let me stop this recording. I use your yes.